everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. And Tom, just like you had guaranteed, well, you didn't guarantee any rain, so I won't hold you to that.
Well, but it was a little bit of a promise to your posies and your pansies.
I know, you said maybe 3 out of 10 chances, but I think we didn't get a drop. But
no.
Anyway.
Really?
Did you think there was any recorded? I don't think so.
It would have been merely a drop.
Yeah,
it
might
that.
Have been what they call a trace. But anyway, we're raring to go here. It's Friday, March 11th, 2022. The radio station is 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are KVOI. Easy to remember, like K the voice. This year we mark our 12th year now on the radio show. We're into 34 years now on TV and radio in the Tucson market. We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive. Very proud of the fact that we have shows going pretty much, well, I know we do, back to the first week in January 2011. So there's a very extensive archive of programs. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, we like to do a big shout out on Friday for sure. Dylan Smith and TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Scheer, who is with me in studio, the editor of the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Dan, thanks for your support for everything you do.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank Tucson Local Media Group, its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. We go now on our live line to our Friday Focus interview. Dr. Teresa Cullen is with us. She is the Pima County Health Director. Dr. Cullen, good to catch up with you. We have not talked with you since really the height of Omicron here in the Pima County in mid-January. First of all, thanks for being with us. Good to chat with you again.
Yeah, it's always great to be invited on your show. So thanks. Thank you very much.
And very serendipitous to have you on today, because today is the official 2-year anniversary of when the World Health Organization, WHO, declared the COVID-19 as a worldwide pandemic. Just kind of reflecting, it seems longer than 2 years, but as a lifelong public health professional, when you look back over those 2 years, couple of lessons maybe we've learned or you've learned. What can you share with us about that?
Oh, it's such a great question, right? And it's really hard to believe that it's been that long a period of time. I think one of the most important lessons for all of us is that our early predictions were inaccurate. And we need to remember that viruses and other situations that end up in endemic or epidemic situations are unpredictable. And the important thing for us is to be able to relay to the public that our goal is to inform them with the best information we have and provide them with tools that can help protect them. I think we've seen this before in other situations when we've had epidemics, but this time it's been so prolonged, Bill, that I think the impact on the community and the healthcare providers and the other frontline workers has been very significant, as we know.
And there is a feeling that all of this is behind us, and I think the headlines with what's going on with the war in Europe and the Ukraine have kind of certainly pushed the COVID-19 coverage off to the side. But I just was checking that with the CDC, Dr. Cullen. Oh, we just lost her, but she'll be back, I'm sure, very quickly. But I was saying, and I will say to her, that one of the few states with the most counties involving Omicron, Pima County is one of them, and Arizona still has what they would call a medium spread. And that really prompted, Dr. Cullen, you're back with us, and I'm just saying about that Pima County and most of the counties in Arizona still are what they call a median spread, and we're one of the few states with that.
Yeah, when you look at the map of the U.S., you do see us mostly yellow as opposed to going to green. So while we are doing incredibly well compared to where we were, especially compared to the last time you and I spoke, remember almost at the tip of that ice pick at that time because of Omicron, we're still not out of the woods. And I think what we're trying to do is continue to remind people that they need to protect themselves as best they can, remember to vaccinate if they haven't been able to do that, and that this is still a community that is at risk.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
Dr. Cullen, has the CDC's assessment of our area always matched Pima County's assessment?
Oh, gosh, what a great question. Almost always. Occasionally, we have gotten earlier insights into what is going on in the community. As you know, we run a lot of our own testing facilities with multiple different contractors. We get their reports at the same time an individual who tests gets a report. So sometimes we have what we would call early sentinel awareness. So we can say, oh, we really think something's happening in this three-day period, and that data may not have gone to the state yet and or gone to the CDC. So the only difference, I think, is sometimes the timing is delayed, but usually the overall assessments are adequate and reflect where we believe we are as a county.
So Pima County, the health department, you and your colleagues issued some update recommendations. Could you kind of go over some of those for us?
Yeah, we use this vehicle called a public health advisory, a PHA, and we've done them intermittently over the last 18 to 20 months. The recent one was related to multiple things, primarily the steps for mitigation. So one is make sure that you try to protect yourself as much as you can. As you know, the mask mandate is no longer there, and the CDC, because we are in what is called that medium transmission, does not recommend that people need to wear masks. However, we want to be sensitive to the fact that there's lots of immunocompromised people in the community. There's still people that are elderly. There's still people that have not been able to be vaccinated for multiple reasons. So it's really up to an individual's recommendation and their own personal risk assessment of whether they should continue to mask or not. We do recommend that people seek out the vaccines. As you know, the 6 months to 5 year vaccine is still on hold right now. More and more data is going into the FDA for them to evaluate the effectiveness of that.
I was just going to say, in a healthcare setting, I've noticed, because I get weekly physical therapy for my broken arm that happened back in May, and I go once a week for my physical therapy, and they still require a mask. And I know that healthcare providers are pretty much unanimous in that protocol, Dr. Cullen.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And actually, in our clinics, we are going to be recommending that people use masks during any kind of patient-provider episode. And one of the reasons for that in healthcare is obviously that people come into healthcare facilities at different stages. Some people are ill, some people aren't ill, but because there is an increased risk of transmission, I think you will see healthcare facilities continue to endorse masking for at least the next 4 to 8 weeks, similar to what you saw just recently about the federal recommendation about masks in transit. And the reason why that is there is because the CDC once again is reflecting on what is the data showing, what do we think will happen. I also want to remind people that, you know, this changes on, just to go back to that question about are we aligned with the CDC, you know, because we have early insight into it, we actually see changes quite early. So, for instance, our caseload in the last 7 days is higher than it was the 7 days before that. Not what we believe is significant yet, but we always have a nagging feeling that what we want to do is make sure we're really on top of what is happening. So right now, what I would say to people is if you're high risk, if you're immunocompromised, assess your own risk and consider masking in certain situations.
Dr. Cullen, the county's mask rules actually do change tomorrow, March 12th. Can you go over those for us? What are the changes?
Yeah, they do change. Actually, I just got the administrative procedure. So the current recommendation, which is in accordance really with the public health advisory, it's just recommended now that people wear masks in county facilities in common areas, lobbies, and elevators. So that's where you're going to be around other people, and you may be in a close proximity in areas where proper physical distancing isn't possible and when there's not a protective barrier. But this is, once again, just a recommendation as opposed to a requirement. We do know that certain county facilities, I just mentioned one of them, the public health clinics, may, at the discretion of Dr. Garcia and myself, require employees and members of the public to wear masks in those facilities. Those will be clearly posted. The one I'm most aware of is the health clinics, just because it's under our purview.
Then what about something like libraries?
Yeah, my understanding is that the libraries will be following that recommendations that I said earlier, that there's a recommendation that people wear a mask in those facilities where the proper physical distancing is not possible. I've not heard that we're going to require them.
I want to go back to the case numbers, because religiously I would go to the site, the Arizona Department of Health site, their website, to check the dashboard on the daily case numbers. And I felt it gave me a little more control. I felt like where I got a feel for where we are. I don't really understand this 100,000, the per 100,000 cases. Could you go over that for us?
Yeah. So remember, it's a 7-day percentage or number. And what's important to note is the Arizona dashboard now is only going to be updated once a week. So it's a little more difficult for you to be able to follow on a daily basis. We still at the county are able to get some daily numbers coming in, but what the CDC and the state are both doing is going to a 7-day metric. So the 7-day metric is the case rate per 100,000 in that 7 days. So think of Pima County as 1 million. Thank gosh we're close to 1 million, because it's easy for me to do numbers that are
yes.
1 million. So it's just 10 times. And the case rate is the number of cases that occurred in that 7-day period per 100,000. So right today, if you went on the CDC website, you'd see the case rate is up a little. It's 121 per 100,000. So if you multiply by 10, remember 100,000, you got to go to a million. What it means is there is 1,210 cases reported for the last 7 days. Now, I need to remind people that sometimes cases are delayed in reporting. Remember, it has to get from the test, the result gets to the state has to process it. Sometimes a lab, for instance, may delay their processing. They may have a goof like I just had where we got hung up on, where I inadvertently hung up on you because of our internet. But that's what that number reflects.
So, and of course, I can barely keep a checkbook. Math is not my strong suit, but that would indicate that we're at about, what is that, about 100, 125 to 150 cases per day over the past week. And that still seems kind of high compared to the rest of the country.
Yes, and your back of the envelope math is correct, very close to where I would have ended up. And we are high. And if you look at what you're seeing overall for the rest of the country, what you're seeing is lots of people are in the green, which means their numbers are lower than us. And remember, the community level. This does get confusing even to me. The community level includes not only the number of cases, but what's going on in the hospitals, so that people can have a sense of how many admissions, which in a sense reflects the severity of disease, we assume, and how many inpatient beds are occupied by patients with COVID-19.
And is that considerably lower, the hospitalizations and those that are on ventilators, that whole picture? Could you give me an overview on that, please?
Yeah, so let me give you some what we would call macro numbers. I'm not going to pay attention to the community level per se, but I'm going to tell you, when we're in trouble, Bill, we're usually over 400 patients in the hospital with COVID a day. So we get a daily report. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're in the low 100s.
Good.
So in the last month, we've gone from over 400 beds in the hospitals that have patients that have COVID to a little over 100. So think of that in terms of if you're ill in the community and something else is going on. In a sense, what that means is there the difference, let's say it's 250 beds. There's now 250 beds that are staffed, which means they can be somebody can be admitted to them that are open.
Good.
And they weren't open before. Yeah, it's really good news.
That means somebody also that needs elective surgery can get back in the queue.
Yes, definitely. It's a really good news for the county. So even though we're still yellow and actually our hospital beds are a little higher than we would like them to see, the CDC is using, just to throw a number out, anything less than 10 gets you green. We're at 10.5, but it is above 10, so yeah. It doesn't get us green. We're still yellow.
All right, stay with us, Dr. Cullen, but right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Always a good time, Dan Shear, as you know, Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's has just been doing so well. People want comfort food, let's face it, and that's what they sell at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle.
Absolutely, and they have actually been strong through the pandemic and,
yes.
and adjusted, and they did exactly what a business should do, and they are coming out the other end of it looking really, really good.
Yeah, the numbers look really good for Steve and the team. Find out what all the excitement is about up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We've been sending so many listeners up there. Ann and I were having a late breakfast, kind of a brunch on Sunday, and it just was a steady stream. You're not going to wait more than 5 minutes, but it was great to see a steady stream of folks coming into Mona's. And we said hello to a couple of listeners who had not been there before and thanked us for talking about Mona's. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Beautiful color photos of everything that's on the menu. And check it out and then go in person and grab your bakery goods. You will not be disappointed. You'll have a great cup of coffee as well. We'll pause right here. More with Dr. Cullen right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview with Pima County's Health Director, Dr. Teresa Cullen. Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan also looks over and kind of oversees editorially the WIC newspaper chain, the 24, well, it's about two dozen papers spread in the western United States. So Dan's a busy guy, but we sure appreciate his input today with Dr. Cullen. And Dr. Cullen, during the break, I just received this news release from the University of Arizona Health Sciences, and they're talking about some new data from an ongoing research study that they've been involved with the CDC, and the CDC's PROTECT study, it's called, showing that the Pfizer vaccine has been a moderately effective tool for preventing the spread of COVID and reducing the severity of infection among children and adolescents. That seems like good news.
Yeah, it is really great news. And there's been some other groups in the country that have been reporting that same information. Remember, the only vaccine approved for those between 5 and 18 is Pfizer. So the fact that they have been able to show moderate effectiveness, which means a decrease in the number of cases as well as hospitalizations, is another source of perhaps encouragement to parents for why they should seek to vaccinate their kids.
Okay, here's Dan.
I asked readers ahead of coming on the show to send me some questions, and this is from one of them. He was wondering whether the CDC kind of backing off on approving a fourth shot for the general population, unless you have HIV or transplant patients, something like that. Is that really them signaling that we don't need to worry too much about this virus anymore?
Oh, what a great question. I'm not sure it signals at all that we don't have to worry about the virus. It may signal more that three shots, if you're not immunocompromised, is going to give the vast majority of the population adequate protection during the time period that we've been able to track the virus. So I think the one question is, what does this look like 6 to 9 months out? But for now, I think what that decision is based on is that most people seem to be adequately protected.
Dan, do you have another listener or reader question?
Well, actually, it was something you and I were talking about off the air, and that is we were talking earlier about lessons that we've learned during the pandemic, but to be more specific, we see the flu every year hit us generally pretty hard. Have we learned something about mask wearing that could help us in the future during flu season? And is the flu season not as bad this year because people have, and last year and the year before, because people were wearing masks?
Well, something's happened, right? We know the flu vaccine this year was not as effective as we would like to have it. CDC is now reporting less than 20% effectiveness from the flu vaccine. And yet, we've seen significantly decreased cases of the flu. I'm chuckling a little in that somebody that was at the airport this morning said, oh, I heard my little tape is at the airport saying to wash your hands. And they go, oh, that's so 2020. I'm like, actually, it's not 2020. 2020, it's still 2022. Wash your hands. And I do think what we've seen is the impact of wearing masks, which makes total sense with the flu, right? Anything that's respiratorily transmitted has decreased ability to be transmitted for people that protect themselves. And one way to protect yourself is by wearing a mask.
All right. We had a, on my Facebook, we've got a question.
Ivermectin.
Thank
you. Is that
what
you're talking me about? Yeah.
If you get COVID, yes or no, what is the recommendation?
So the recommendation is still no for this. And the reason is because a multifactorial, first off, not FDA approved for this, though we know providers routinely do off what we call off-label use. That means they can use a drug for other things as long as it's a FDA-approved drug. So that's what we see with ivermectin. This is being used for off-label use for COVID. And the other thing I would say is right now there are some longitudinal studies. I want to reassure your listeners that it isn't that people just said, oh, no way, no way with ivermectin. Instead, what they've done is they've done what we call blinded and controlled studies. The results of that with ivermectin are still not available. Those studies are still going on. So some people are evaluating it, but right now my response is no, don't take it.
The variant that's kind of this combination between Delta and Omicron that is turning up over in Europe, have we seen any of that here in Pima County?
We've seen, as of last week, we had 3 cases of that, and those 3 cases had been what we call viral sequenced over the 3 weeks before that. So let's say probably in late January, early February, we saw a case, then we saw another one, then we saw another one. But we have not seen any clustering or outbreak that is attributed to that.
And do we know much about this variant? How is it different from, say, Delta and Omicron?
We don't know a lot about it other than it would appear that it's more like Omicron than Delta, which means it should hopefully not have the morbidity and mortality that we saw with Delta.
Here's Dan Scheer.
It was interesting over the last couple of years to watch the power struggle among the state, the counties, and municipalities, watch that play out. Were you surprised at how much the virus was politicized?
That's
yes, but you can't say anything about
yeah.
it.
Well, you know, but I also think that public health is routinely politicized. Somehow we have separated clinical care delivery and public health from each other. And by doing that, we've kind of left public health at this arm's length and say, here, you want to go after something, go after public health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it makes sense when I think about it. So if I'm an individual and I have diabetes and hypertension and I go to my doc and they treat me for diabetes and hypertension, and then they say you should exercise and lose weight and don't eat salt, the responsibility for that, while it's at an individual level, is also under the rubric of public health, right? The public health department is supposed to be addressing these much larger, in a sense, public/societal issues. And so I think it's easy to politicize anything that's within the purview of public health.
You know, you said earlier something really interesting. You said that the early predictions were inaccurate. And first of all, I want to point out to people that you didn't arrive here until after this whole thing was rolling. But did people demand predictions, or why did do departments feel like they had to predict the future of something that was brand new and they didn't understand? And then did this get you into a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, once again, a great question. I think that the public, Joe Public, James Public, Jane Public, wants certainty. And we have ambiguity. And many things are ambiguous. I'm actually trained as a family medicine doc. And what we say in family medicine is you get really comfortable with ambiguity because about 15%, sometimes even higher, of people's complaints, you don't know what they're due to, right? But you reassure them. You say, you're going to be fine. You can go home. You don't need to go to the emergency room. Your body will play this out and we'll work with you and you'll figure out what's wrong. I think in a pandemic, that is not reassuring to people. What people want is, I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we did, it's such a great question because in some ways it's easy to get, to want to answer that, right? To say with certainty, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no idea. I can do some predictions. And I think that some of it is in our word choice. We've learned this, and it is another great lesson learned in terms of public health. Public health communications is all about, to a large extent, obviously communicating appropriate information, but all about creating trust. Because if you trust me, then the fact that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I can reassure you whatever happens, I believe we will be able to respond to it. You may sleep that night.
Yeah, it's a good point. Quickly running out of time, but other issues, other public health issues have been kind of, well, they're not getting any public, very little publicity because of COVID over the past 2 years. But what are some of those issues that we really need to be aware of in Pima County?
Yeah, so there's a few things. You know, we use a mechanism called a health alert network, which is when we send out things that we have found that we think are important for the provider community. We've done a couple of them lately. One was on suicide, one was on fentanyl and overdoses. Those are two issues that we know are important in the county. The nexus of behavioral health and substance abuse is something that we are increasingly worried about. Suicide is interrelated with that. And the other thing we remain worried about some of those old, what we would call old infectious diseases that people may know about, sexually transmitted infections, HIV, a little bit about TB, though we're doing a great job there. So we're trying to identify what those other issues are and make sure that we're doing appropriate interventions. If I could take 1 second to just do a plug for something.
Sure.
We do have a website that the county has stood up, but it's not a .gov. It's called PimaHelpline.org. And it is really, for those of you who may be familiar with like the 211 system, this is kind of a baby 211 where if you need services for certain conditions, you can go there, you can drop down and say you put in mental health and say you put in Green Valley or you put in Sahuarita or Tucson. It will at least link you to the appropriate services. So that's one way that we're trying to address these behavioral health / substance abuse mental health issues that we know are rampant and we're increasingly concerned about.
And again, that website is?
PimaHelpline.org.
Very good. Dr. Cullen, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to our next visit with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Teresa Cullen, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Pause right here in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Going to talk with Dan Scheer right after this.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit. weedparkzoo.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line was presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And on the live line, and we thank her, Dr. Cullen. Always a great interview. Dan Shears with us from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Dan, you informed me as you came into the studio today that you have a brother who is now in Ukraine.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, my brother Pat has a lot of contacts in Ukraine and a lot of friends over there, and he's been there. And he, when all of this started, we knew he was going to do something. We just didn't know what. And I got a call a week ago Tuesday and caught him 5 minutes before he got on the plane. He went through the proper channels. You do not just jump on a plane and go over and say, here I am to help. Right. He's an Army veteran. He was a police officer for 25 years. You go over and then you decide, okay, here's what I can do. Where do I best fit in? And for him, it's been helping refugees mostly in Poland until a couple of days ago. He is now in Lviv, Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Lviv is in the west and it's been considered a safe haven, but the bombing is coming toward them and they expect it any day now. So.
Yes.
So when we were discussing that Lviv is a World Heritage Site,
yes,
they have some beautiful buildings, and it's a tourist attraction. And he said as he's was driving in there yesterday that all the statues are wrapped up and they've put scaffolding over certain things to try to protect them. He says the streets look like they're all set up for street battles.
Oh, boy.
And so they are bracing themselves. He said it's chaotic, but no one is really panicking, but this is kind of a jumping off point for refugees from the east. Then they get into Poland or Slovakia or Hungary, Romania. So,
and your brother joins a lot of former Afghan veterans, Gulf War veteran Americans who are over there. And America is just one of 54 countries. Some 20,000 foreigners have come to the Ukraine, and I figured there must be some kind of protocol that they go through.
Yes.
You know, they have to kind of, then they cross at different places. I know a lot of it's probably kept secret where they cross, but he was, I just hope for the best for him.
We are keeping in touch with him through WhatsApp, so we are getting updates. Mm-hmm. They're 8 hours ahead of us, and so we've heard a lot. You know, we wake up in the morning and we've heard an awful lot, but he's transporting refugees. He's doing whatever he can do. He said there was a little young nun in Modica, Poland, who discovered that he is really bad at saying no, and so she would give her really hard cases. You know, he had transported three women who had been sleeping on the concrete for three nights to Slovakia. He's mm-hmm. taking people. He's making two trips to Krakow. But again, now he is over in Ukraine, and it's a different world. And would he join the fighting? It's a good question. I think he would consider it.
And he's certainly trained.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, you know, you gotta know your limits. And yeah. I think he does know. And so he would not try to do something that he was incapable of doing. And I think that's a real important thing. You can have the heart for something, but you have to have skills. This is not easy work.
We'll keep your brother in our prayers for sure.
Thank you.
The electric vehicle controversy has come to Green Valley. How do folks feel about the e-vehicles?
You know, it's a chicken or the egg type thing. And I bet this is, the same story in communities all across the nation. It's like we have people who are saying we don't want to buy an electric vehicle because we don't have enough charging stations, and other charging station companies or individuals saying we aren't going to put them down there because there aren't enough electric vehicles. And so we actually just had an attorney in town install one outside his office. His name is Peter Schmerl, and at his own expense, come plug in, do whatever you want. There's another person who has one in his garage, opens it up to anybody who's coming. We've had some recently pulled out of our area because no one was using them, and there was a 10-year agreement, and there just wasn't enough support behind it to keep it going. And now the Green Valley Council is considering putting in some EV stations. So we'll have to see. There are people who want to try this, particularly in a community like ours where you're not going to be going long distances. And now, especially with gas prices, I bet people are kind of doubling down on thinking seriously about doing this.
You know, I want to go back to Ukraine. And one of the things about your home publication group, WIC, it's very local-centric. It's so community-oriented with papers west of the Mississippi, a dozen papers. And so one of the things you do, you're head of the editorial, kind of giving advice to all of the editors at the papers. So when you have a very local-centric news, but you've got a world story like a war in Europe, how do you cover that?
We've talked about that extensively because this is going to affect everybody. In the United States, without a doubt.
And not just gas prices.
Absolutely.
Which is
great,
the easy,
great point.
That's the low-hanging fruit. Yep. You know, my gosh, gas prices went up.
And also to go beyond, this person used to live in Ukraine and they're watching what's going on back there. That's important stuff, but there is more to it. I'll give you one interesting example. One of our papers in South Dakota found out that there's a woodworker who imports a certain type of wood from Russia, rare, mm-hmm. tough to get, no longer happening.
Yep.
And so we saw it at University of Arizona where they had those robots that would deliver food, and those were launched in October. And mm-hmm. we got this from the Daily Wildcat. Thank you to the mm-hmm. students. And it was a Russian company, and they stopped the robots. And so mining is really being an interesting situation, that there are some raw materials are just going through the roof. Look up nickel and what is happening to that.
I was just going to say, it's about nickel, which is used extensively, and I didn't know this, in high tech.
Absolutely. And so there's a ton of this stuff. It does affect your community. You just got to get out there and tell that local story. So that's what we're doing.
And the readers want that.
They do. And they you know what? This is almost like a COVID situation where they want to know what's going on nationally and internationally, which they're going to get from other places. That's not what a community paper does. And then, boom, they want to go real local. And so we're giving them that real local look on the ground, where to send your money, where to give your support. And so this is we've got all of our papers on this, and they're all turning stories on it.
I'm getting candidates that are now in these new districts, and I still not quite sure which district translates. Legislative districts have new numbers, and it's a little confusing right now because there's like a currently an LD2, which will become
Well, it's going to be split in two. Yeah, 19 and 21 19. Is where I live. They've actually taken the town of Sarita and split it into two legislative districts. So now part of Sarita is actually in the same district as Safford, whereas it's not in the same district as the other half of the town. So, and I will not name the person, but I actually ran into a candidate recently who wasn't quite sure where their new district was, you know. So it's like, I said, well, what district you're running in, you know. So that's pretty sad, but, it's all, we're in the old districts right now. We're electing for the new.
And the maps have been approved?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything is through, and it's done, and so you should go see where you are. If you don't know, you might be surprised.
All right, Dan Scheer, it's always a pleasure. And is there a story that you'd like to kind of direct our listeners to, something that's going on in Green Valley?
We're looking into whether the county has pulled back on victims' rights advocates. We're hearing some stuff. We're partway through a story. Mary Glenn Hatcher is writing that. Look at it in Sunday's paper, and we'll tell you exactly why it matters, if indeed that is what's happening.
And speaking of Mary Glenn, she will be here where you are seated next week. She'll be my guest reporter as we talk to a very prominent lawmaker, Senator J.D. Mesnard, talking about all these changes that Republicans would like to make to voting in Arizona.
Yep, and we'll be asking some tough questions of him. I hope he's ready.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Weekend Watch coming up next with Matt Russell. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
All righty, time for the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there. Only a 3-hour drive. Everybody has a good time. If you're into the outdoors, and who isn't these days, into hiking or just taking some kind of leisurely walks in a beautiful environment, enjoying all that Victorian architecture in downtown Silver City, and pleasant temperatures around 60 degrees as you're out taking your walk in Silver City, around 60 for the weekend. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, for more information about great places to stay and lots to do. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, longtime host. You know, my waistline will show that it is longtime host of Weekend Watch.
You know, Matt, I'm hearing so much about a real successful restaurant opening. What can you tell me about Beta?
Yeah, you know, it's a project that's been in the works for well over a year, and the time has finally come, Bill, for Chef Tyler Fenton to welcome you to his third restaurant. It's called Bata, and it's located on Tool Avenue. Yeah, Bata.
Okay.
Bata Boom. located on Tool Avenue. It's right next door to Borderlands Brewing. Now, this hot new concept is built on the legends and lore of fire, with various expressions of the flame coming from a live fire that anchors their exhibition kitchen. All of the nearly 20 dishes on the menu are touched by fire in some way, including the desserts, which make for one fiery dinner for you on this opening weekend. Their doors open at Bata today, Saturday, and Sunday at 5 p.m.
Sounds like a real winner for sure. And another winner, one of the most popular book festivals now in the United States.
Absolutely. The Tucson Festival of Books is this weekend, and you know where I'll be, at the culinary stage, of course, for lectures and demonstrations by cookbook authors and food industry leaders. Chef and author Abra Behrens will be showcasing the latest in the world of grains. Food stylist and author Edgar Chestahone will be speaking on plant-based Mexican food trends. Another one, Valerie Lomas, who won the Great American Baking Show, will share from her book, Life is What You Bake It. We always have a star-studded lineup of culinary programs at the book festival, and this year is certainly no exception.
Oh, you add so much to that book festival. Thank you for doing that. How about the folks that like a little bit of the suds, some of the brewery?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when cycling and suds intersect, that means Grand Fondo. Now, similar to the first Grand Fondo, which means big ride, that originated in Italy back in the 1970s, the third annual Tucson Grand Fondo is tomorrow, and it'll bring cyclists of all skill levels to experience vibrant downtown Tucson. And after the ride, the official Grand Fondo block party will kick off in the afternoon at 1055 Brewing Company on Congress Street, with music and games, delicious food, and, of course, lots of craft beers from 1055. Now, there's even going to be a special Grand Fondo Classic American Amber Ale that has been brewed for the occasion, which I hear has notes of toffee and biscuits with a balanced herbal hop finish. It's tomorrow afternoon at 1055 Brewing.
And directing the Buckmaster Show listeners to Inside Tucson Business, the column.
Yeah, you know, I take a deeper dive into this new restaurant, Bata, and I learned that even the building materials used to reimagine this historic 1930s warehouse where it now resides were even inspired by fire. I don't know how in the world building materials are fire-inspired, but you can read my flame-worthy story in this week's Inside Tucson.
I can't wait to check it out. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend from Munich, Germany, Christophan. Thanks to assistant Rosemary Brandt, everybody here at KVOI, including my friend, my engineer, producer, Tom Fairbanks. He always does such a great job for us, and really the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, making us feel so welcome. And I hope you have a great weekend, everybody.